Amen. When someone, who here has been like a bridesmaid or a groomsman in a wedding? Okay. So when you're asked to do that, you get super excited because your friend's getting married and you get to be in the wedding party. You get to like do the fullness of the party, right? But when that happens, you're asked to dress a way that you wouldn't choose to dress. You're asked to do certain things that you wouldn't normally do on your day-to-day schedule. And you maybe need to buy a certain dress from a certain company in a certain color and then get it fitted. You need to go to a tuxedo rental place and get measured and wear a tuxedo in a bow tie or a tie in the color that the bride wants it to be, right? Maybe you need to organize a bachelor party or a bachelorette party, right? And that can be fun, but when you're organizing and when you're seen as the one responsible for all the girls, for all the guys, it gets nerve-wracking, right? Because you're in charge. Or maybe you're asked to hold the rings for the ceremony. Or maybe you're asked or not asked. You just see and you do it. You need to calm the nerves of the bride or the groom. They're all things we don't normally do, but we do them because we love the bride. We love the groom. And they've asked us to do this for them, for their wedding. And so today in our reading, there's 10 virgins, but I'm going to refer to them as bridesmaids for the rest of this message. It's simply the wedding party of a bride and groom. But of course, Jesus is putting the spotlight on the groom and identifying himself as the groom here. The goal of the wedding party in this parable is to celebrate and honor the groom specifically, when he returns to his house at an unannounced time to celebrate the wedding feast. And so the bridesmaids could achieve this, honoring the groom, by being prepared. And that's simply what the groom is asking. Be prepared, like a Boy Scout. By being ready when the groom comes back. And the groom has given them this specific task. No matter what, keep your torches burning when I come back. Keep your torches burning. Unfortunately, 5 of the bridesmaids were foolish. And fortunately, 5 of the bridesmaids were wise. The foolish ones took their torches, which would only be able to burn for about 15 minutes, right? So it's like a rag wrapped around a stick with olive oil on it. And the foolish ones did not take extra oil. Probably because they figured the groom was going to return quickly. And so schlepping extra oil was too much work. And after all, right, they might say, the groom should be thanking me for taking PTO to come to his wedding, right? I bought this specific dress. I got it tailored and fitted. He should be thanking me. I don't need to bring extra oil just because he wants to, you know, look bedazzled when he comes back at night. But take note, the wise bridesmaids did take extra oil. And so the groom is delayed in returning, and all 10 of them fall asleep. And I want to point at that and say, that's okay. There doesn't seem to be a problem with them falling asleep. They're not bad because they fell asleep. They all did. They fell asleep because they're human beings. They've probably been up since 6 getting their makeup done. And it's midnight. And suddenly there's a loud cry. that the groom has returned and they all are woken up. Wake, awake. And the five foolish bridesmaids beg the wise bridesmaids for oil. And the wise ones say, right? And you can just see the grin on their face. Why don't you go buy some at the store? Effectively, they're saying, go hop in a lake. Go play in traffic, right? Because there's not a store open in the Middle East in the first century at midnight selling oil for them to get. But this was not unkind or uncharitable of the wise bridesmaids, because they were given one task by someone who they loved. And that one that they loved said, please be ready. Have your torches burning when I return, no matter what. Right? Move heaven and earth to make sure your torches are burning when I come back. And besides, if they listened to the fools and gave their oil to them, the wedding would be ruined, because all of the lamps would have gone out and the groom and his bride would be shamed. And so, while the foolish ones were away, the groom returns. And those who were wise, who kept their torches burning, prepared with enough oil, they were blessed with being able to behold their beloved groom in the full splendor of beautiful light amidst darkness, shining like the sun. And they went inside together and they locked the door. It's time to party. What a joy. Exactly what he promised is here. Now, when the fools returned, they begged at the door, banging on the door, Lord, Lord, open the door, please, it's us. And Christ himself says, truly I say to you, I don't even know who you are. You have brought great shame on me, on my wife, and on my family on our wedding day. You were not prepared. And you know what? My other friends were. In many ways, our divine service prepares us for Christ's return. It prepares us to be wise unto salvation, to not be fools. Our divine service mirrors each Christian's day, their day-to-day life, but also their entire life. It's all condensed into one. It begins with baptism, or remembering our baptism if no one is baptized that day. And we do that in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And all are welcome to dip their hands in there as they come forward and do this. And it moves on to the confession of sin and the desire to do better and be better, to act on our new feeling of, I want to do better. And then it proceeds with reflecting on Christ's words and his promises of forgiveness, the new Christian life. Repentant, with our lives dedicated to Christ, this is where we spend the bulk of our time, during service and during our lives, meditating on Jesus' words, hearing them, chewing on them, thinking of them. Whether we're in the divine service or we're in our everyday life, we hear, we read, we meditate on Christ's words. And this is the part of life, unfortunately, where people start to stray, where they wander off. And I'm not just joking about, like, you know, daydreaming during church, because we've been reading a few readings and now it's the sermon and I'm drifting off, right? No. I'm also talking about our lives. It's really exciting at the beginning. It's really exciting when we first believe. It's really exciting when we first dedicate ourselves to Jesus. But then when the mundanity of just hearing God's word over and over again comes, we stray. Sometimes we get trapped right at the beginning. Sometimes we forget we're baptized. Sometimes we refuse to confess our sins or that we're sinful. Yeah, we have that. But sometimes we go through that. We repent. We're baptized. We receive forgiveness. But then we say, I have what's in it for me. I'm forgiven. And then we cease to engage Christ in his word. We cease to go and hear it in the places that we gather to hear God's word. And many people, Jesus says, in our parable, he says at least half, they become distracted by other things from his word, and they enter through that wide gate that's very easy to enter through. And they find themselves on the last day locked out of Jesus' kingdom. They cease to remember and refresh themselves in Christ's words, and they forget why they're there in the first place. And in their case, with these bridesmaids, the reason why they're there in the first place is to stand ready to have their torch burning with enough oil to receive the Lord Jesus when he returns, even if he returns later than you thought. And so think about that. Think about, like, picture in your head the 10 bridesmaids, and they're standing outside the door of a house. It's pitch black. Five of them have torches burning, and five of them are kind of sitting, talking, gossiping, goofing off, looking at their phone. And there's those five wise ones that are waiting for the groom. They're waiting for Jesus. And basically what I'm trying to say is, I'm sure the foolish ones mocked the wise ones, made fun of them. They probably said things like, do you really think the groom is coming back soon? Do you really think he's going to care if your lamp is burning or not when he comes back? He's usually a pushover. He lets me do whatever I want, and he never holds me accountable anyways. He always forgives me. Do you really think that he cares whether we do what he's asked us to do or not? He doesn't seem to care. And by the way, he owes us for all the things and stuff that we've done and gotten for him. Why do you waste so much time remembering and studying what he said? And of course, keep in mind, there's just 10 of them. Think of everyone else in the world is sound asleep in their beds, not even thinking about this marriage feast for Jesus Christ, the bridegroom. So these five bridesmaids, they must have felt really silly. They must have felt like, man, maybe I am just easily tricked. Maybe I am gullible. I'm standing here in the middle of the night. I'm holding a torch. I keep adding oil to it just because my friend, the groom, told me to. I must look pathetic. But man, oh man, were they justified when Jesus returned? So my message for you, faithful ones, is that when you are mocked for being here, when you feel like a fool because you believe God's word in earnest, when even your fellow so-called Christians make fun of you for doing what Jesus asked you to do, or try to keep you from going to hear his words and receive his body and blood, remember the five wise bridesmaids. Because you, my brothers and sisters in Christ, you are counted among them. You are the few, and you are the proud. Your faithfulness will be vindicated. It will be justified on the last day. When we all hear the cry of the archangel's trumpet, when those who have fallen asleep in Christ are raised, when those who are living are caught up together with Christ in the clouds, and we meet him in the air, when we are ever with the Lord. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, "Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on his account. Rejoice, be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For they persecuted the prophets and Jesus Christ himself in the same way. You are in good company. You are the wise ones. You have chosen the good portion." Returning to our divine service, when you hear the voice cry out, "The Lord be with you," and you respond in faith, oil primed and ready, lamps burning, and with thy spirit, rejoice and be glad. That means Jesus is coming soon. You're prepared. You've confessed. You've received forgiveness. You're pure. You're clean. You are ready to behold the groom in all his glory, lit by the light of two lamps on this altar filled with oil. Don't worry, I checked. Ask yourself, where do you want to be when Jesus comes back? What do you want to be doing? What do you want to be thinking about? What do you want to be saying to other people when Jesus returns? I don't want to give examples. I simply want to say, do you want to be standing ready with your torch burning? Do you want to be reading his words? Do you want to be speaking to him in prayer, expecting a response? Do you want to be receiving him on your tongue or responding in praise and song and thanksgiving or serving your neighbor who is in need? All of these are great places to start. And so we pray together earnestly, together as faithful bridesmaids, with the Apostle John, with his very words, "Come, Lord Jesus." Amen.